Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 23 June, 2026, Zechariah.
But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Zechariah chapter 7. Ritual without reality is absolutely meaningless, worthless, useless. And we're just getting it. There are two chapters on this. And you might say, why would God the Holy Spirit put two chapters in this on the abuse of fasting? Well, you'll see. And it wasn't just Zechariah that's being taught this through the Lord. And then Isaiah taught the same thing. Hosea taught the same thing. And so this is going to be a great class tonight. You'll get to see what God really thinks, what is important. And an entire chapter in Isaiah is the Lord Jesus Christ nailing these Jews for their ritual without reality, totally meaningless. They had no virtue love. They had no love for God the Father. They had no occupation with Jesus Christ. They had no impersonal love for all, but they were fasting. Like a lot of Christians today in America, they go through their rituals, but they have no virtue love brought to completion in their heart. They have no royal family honor code, and yet they're going through religious ritual. And God, He hates ritual without reality. Ritual without reality is totally meaningless. Now, a delegation from Bethel arrived in Jerusalem to seek counsel from the priests and the prophets concerning the subject of fasting. They asked whether the annual fast commemorating the destruction of Solomon's temple should be continued, since a rebuilt temple was well on its way to completion in Zechariah's day. Some of the people were growing weary of keeping this fast, as well as several other fasts that they had instituted while they were exiled in Babylon. These fasts had become burdensome rituals, devoid of spiritual significance. In Zechariah chapter 7 and 8, two chapters, God addresses the delegation's question on fasting. And Zechariah presented God's answer in four messages. And God told the Bethel delegation what it needed to hear, not what it expected to hear. And the Lord gave them a severe warning. Each message was introduced with the form of the phrase, "The word of Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, came to me saying." Message 1 was Zechariah 7:4. Message 2, Zechariah 7:8. Message number 3, Zechariah 8:1. Message number 4, Zechariah 8:18. We have exegeted the first three verses. It sounds like this. "Then it came about in the fourth year of King Darius, 518 B.C., the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Kislev." Verse 2, "Now Bethel had sent Sherezer and Regemmelech, along with a delegation to entreat the favor of the Lord. By speaking to the priests who belong to the house of the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, and to the prophets, saying, 'Should I mourn in the fifth month and fast as I have done now for so many years?'" Now in Zechariah chapter 7, verses 4 through 7, the Lord gives them a severe rebuke. The Lord declares that their MO is merely religious ritual. Ritual without reality is totally meaningless, worthless, useless. And they thought they were doing something great for the Lord, and the Lord was not honored at all. They did not honor the Lord at all. They had become involved in ritual fasting, breastfeeding, and God was not honored in any way by their fasting. So verse 4 says, in corrected translation, "Then the word of the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty, came to me, Zechariah, saying." In his first message, Zechariah launched into the motive of their fasting. The Lord's message through Zechariah was addressed to all the people and to the priests. God asked two rhetorical questions about fasting. Rhetorical question number 1 is in verse 5. Rhetorical question number 2 is in verse 6. In these two rhetorical questions, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, asked them, "Was your fasting honoring to me, the Lord? You've been doing all this fasting for years and years. Was it honoring to me? Were you honoring me?" The answer to these two rhetorical questions is absolutely not. No, you haven't. You haven't honored me at all with all of these years of fasting. It's just religious ritual. So, the Lord nails them. Boy, they weren't expecting this. See, they thought they might get, a special blessing, bonus, because they'd done all this. Well, let's take a look at rhetorical question number one. Zechariah 7, verse 5. We always start with the King James. Speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying. Now we have here, and this is very important, the cal imperative. The imperative of the verb amer. Plus the preposition el, joined by a makef to kol, joined by a makef to am. Plus the noun eretz with the definite article, plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the preposition el, joined by a makef to the plural of kohen with the definite article, plus the cal infinitive construct of amer repeated. Now, we start out, and this is very important. Looks like that in the Hebrew, Aleph, A-M-A-R, Amer. Amer, but Amer in the imperative mood. This, the imperative mood makes this a rebuke. It's a command and a rebuke all rolled into one. Zechariah is commanded by the Lord to give this rebuke to all the people of the land and to the priests. So, corrected translation, say as a command, as a rebuke to all the people of the land and to the priests. Then we have, when ye fasted, and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years. This is the conjunction key, joined by a makef to the cal perfect of tsum, plus the conjunction vav prefix to the cal infinitive absolute of safad, plus the preposition beth prefix to kamishi, plus vav prefix to the preposition beth prefix to shvi'i, plus vav prefix to zeh, plus shevim, plus shana. There. You get that all down? The conjunction key. Now, those who have been faithful and being here and studying our Tuesday class in the Old Testament, you have seen this many times. Conjunction key, K, long I. And many times it is a causal conjunction, but not here. Here it's used as a temporal conjunction and should be correctly translated when. When. And then we have tsum. That's T-S, long U-M, tsum. All right, a couple of things. One, tsum literally means to abstain from food. To abstain from food. Now, I know some of you fast a little bit. Deb, she fasts every Monday. But it's for physical health things. It isn't to have a special celebration with the Lord. It's just fasting. And am I fasting? Hell no. I, I am eating. That's what I'm doing. So you see, there's fasting and there's feasting. I see that there's a lot of feasting going on. That's fine. So tsum means literally to abstain from food. Two, this is the Hebrew word to fast. Three, it is fasting that is designed in the plan of God for worship and for prayer. For intensified worship and prayer. That's how it was designed. And then we have the verb safad. S-A-P-H-A-D, safad. And safad literally means to wail or to lament. And they were doing a lot of wailing and lamenting along with their fasting. Safad is mourning that's combined with fasting. And then we have bakamishi veba shibi'i. And that correctly translated is in the fifth and the seventh months. And then we have vazeh shevim shana. And that's correctly translated for the past 70 years. So, corrected translations. Say, as a command, a rebuke to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months for the past 70 years. All right, a couple of things. One, the past 70 years is the administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline. Their captivity in Babylon for the past 70 years. So the past 70 years is their captivity in Babylon, the fifth cycle of national discipline. Two, this is the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline on the southern kingdom, administered by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army. Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army. God used Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army. God used them to administer the fifth cycle of national discipline on the southern kingdom. And by the way, Nebuchadnezzar was a genius. He was a genius. He was a great military commander. And it was the Lord that brought him down to administer the fifth cycle of discipline. And as he did so, why, Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The homes were burnt down. The people were slaughtered. And the survivors went on a death march back to Babylon. But Nebuchadnezzar wound up becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see that. He became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before that happened, in his arrogance, he became psychotic and went out and started eating the grass with the cows. And the sheep, he was out there with them. For seven years, he was out there eating grass with the animals. And after that 7 years, he came to his senses and he believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was removed as king for that 7 years out in the grass and the field. But then, when he believed in Christ, he was restored as king of Babylon. So we're going to see that down the road here in Zechariah. But he was a great military king and genius. Say as a command, a rebuke to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months for the past 70 years. Now, did ye at all fast unto me, the living and true God, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty? And then he adds to that, even to me? Boy, when he does that, that is saying, no, you did not. I was the last thing that was important in your life. So did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? This is the cal infinitive absolute of tsum, plus the cal perfect of tsum repeated with the first person singular suffix, plus the personal pronoun ani. The cal infinitive absolute of tsum, followed by the cal perfect of tsum, putting that together with the first person singular suffix, is very, very emphatic. And it should be correctly translated, did you really fast for me, the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Tsevaoth? And then, to make this even more emphatic, he adds the personal pronoun ani. I repeat, for me. Did you really fast for me, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the armies? I repeat, for me? No, you did not. Wow. They weren't expecting that. When they made this trip from Bethel to Jerusalem, they weren't expecting that. So, corrected translation of verses 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, came to me, Zechariah, saying, say, as a command, as a rebuke to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months for the past 70 years, did you really fast for me, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the armies? I repeat, for me? No, you did not. Demands the answer, no, you did not. Absolutely no. So, one. Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, asked the people whether they fasted as dead religious ritualism or from a heart filled with virtue love. What he asked. Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, asked the people that came down from Bethel whether they fasted as dead religious ritualism or from a heart filled with virtue love. Two, he is asking, was your fasting and mourning the result of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? That's what he's asking. Was your fasting and mourning the result of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Three, or was it merely ritual without reality and totally meaningless, worthless, useless? Or was it ritual without reality, totally meaningless, useless, worthless? And yes, that's exactly what it was. God is nailing. He's nailing them. Four, the question implies that their fasting was selfish and self-centered and not honoring to God at all. The question implies that their fasting was selfish and self-centered and not honoring to God at all. Now, I've been taught I'm supposed to speak from my down here, from the stomach and diaphragm. I'm not supposed to use my vocal cords. But when I get on fire for the Lord, I forget about down here and just go up and strain my vocal cords. So, excusez-moi. We got the good stuff, yeah. Ah. Nothing like green tea to help your vocal cords. There you go. Five. If such fasting does not honor God, if such fasting does not honor God, it is merely external formalism and is a total waste of time and effort. A total waste of time and effort. Six. The prophet Isaiah also dealt with Israel's fasting as well. The prophet Isaiah also dealt. God spoke through Isaiah to nail the Jews in the southern kingdom. Dealt with Israel's fasting as well. Seven. The Jewish people had fasted. They were fasting, but God did not respond to their requests by giving them what they wanted. And we're going to look at it. We're going to look at this, an entire chapter in Isaiah. Entire chapter, chapter 58. In Isaiah, God nails them over the issue of fasting. Fasting from ritual. There was no love for God. They didn't love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's a mandate. A mandate for all of them from the Old Testament scriptures. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. They didn't love him at all. They didn't fulfill that mandate, but they were fasting, fasting, fasting. So Isaiah spends an entire chapter in chapter 58. The Jewish people had fasted, but God did not respond to their request by giving them what they wanted. Eight. So they asked. The Jewish people who were fasting, they asked, Why have we fasted? And you, Jehovah Tzevaoth, you have not seen. Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? All our fasting is to no avail. That's in verse 3, but that's point 8. Not to worry. We're going to get to Isaiah 58. Point 9. Isaiah presented God's reply to Judah prior to the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline. Isaiah presented God's reply to Judah prior to the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline. Okay, let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 58. Now, as we start in verse 1, the Lord is going to tell Isaiah, the first verse. He's telling Isaiah, shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. This is the Lord telling Isaiah. And then he says, declare to my people their rebellion. Declare to my people their rebellion. This is what we need from pastors today about Christians in America. Declare their rebellion, apostasy, degeneracy, totally living in Satan's cosmic system of evil. We need the same thing from pastors today in Client Nation USA. The same thing that the Lord tells Isaiah. Declare to my people their rebellion. Rebellion away from God. And to the house of Jacob their sins. Verse 2. For day after day, they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions, and seem eager for God to come near them. They say, verse 3, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You do as you please. And you exploit all your workers. You do as you please. You're self-centered. You're very selfish. Interlocking systems of arrogance. And you exploit all your workers. Verse 4. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, evil, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Your prayers are going nowhere. Nowhere at all. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice. They have been operating with injustice. No honor, no virtue, no integrity, but injustice. And untie the cords of the yoke to set the oppressed free. To set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry? That's not going on. You have no impersonal love for all. You have no royal family honor code. You have no virtue, honor, and integrity. You take advantage of these people. Is it not to share your food with the hungry? And to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him? And not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? This is the Lord's expressing what really matters to him. Not their ritual, not their religious ritual of fasting. But virtue, honor, integrity, virtue love, impersonal love for all. Verse 8. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. And your healing will quickly appear. When you do these things that really matters to God. Then your righteousness will go before you. Grace righteousness of spiritual maturity. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And then you will call and the Lord will answer. When you are a grace righteous believer. When you have attained maturity and have the royal family honor code. When you live by virtue, honor, integrity. When you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When that is true, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and He will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger, and the malicious talk, slander, maligning, judging, sins of the tongue, mental attitude sins. And if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. Verse 11. The Lord will then guide you. Divine guidance. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. When you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you live by the royal family honor code of virtue, integrity, honor. Then the Lord will guide you. Divine guidance. Always. Always. Divine guidance always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden. Great prosperity and blessing. Like a spring whose waters never fail. Verse 12. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwelling. Verse 13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please, selfish, self-centered, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred on my holy day. If you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way, doing what's right in your own eyes, and not doing as you please, or speaking idle words, sins of the tongue, then you will find your joy in the Lord. Share the happiness of God as a spiritually mature believer. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land, and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Whew. Wow. When we finish Zechariah, we're going to have to teach Isaiah. Of course, I'll have to live to be 120 years old, but that is absolutely, there it is right there. See, some of you are wondering, why are we having two chapters in Zechariah on fasting? Well, I thought I better take you to Isaiah 58 and let the Lord, this is why. This is what we need in America today too. So, point 9, Isaiah presented God's reply to Judah prior to the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline in Isaiah chapter 58. Now, let's go through and pull together some things. One, all their fasting did not alter their reversionism. They were reversionists. Rebellion against God. Living in Satan's cosmic system. All their fasting did not alter their reversionism at all. Two, they had no virtue love. They had no love for God. The mandate in the Old Testament is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. They didn't love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And because they didn't love the Lord, no personal love for the Father, no occupation with Jesus Christ, therefore they had no impersonal love to others. No impersonal love at all for others. Three, they were exploiting their employees. They were exploiting their employees and doing what was right in their own eyes. Verse 3 of Isaiah 58. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You do what's right in your own eyes. And you exploit all your workers. Turn over to Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24, verse 14. Deuteronomy 24, verse 14. Do not take advantage of a hired man who is poor and needy, whether he is a brother, Israelite, or a stranger, an alien, living in one of your towns. Pay him his wages each day before sunset, because he is poor and he's counting on it. Otherwise, he may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin. Moses is teaching the exact same thing. Turn over to James in the New Testament. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Verse 4, behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. James 5, 1 through 6. You see, the spiritually mature believer has a royal family honor code in his soul. He lives by that honor code. He lives with virtue, honor, and integrity to all around him. And if you're management, to all labor working for you, with virtue, honor, integrity toward labor working for you. You operate with impersonal love for all of them. 4, they were quarreling and fighting and living in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And that's Isaiah 58, verse 4. Isaiah 58, verse 4. Your fasting, which you're so proud of, your fasting and what you're doing, your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you are doing today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Your prayers go absolutely nowhere. So, 5, therefore their prayers would not be heard. Their prayers would not be heard because their kind of fasting was not what the Lord accepted. For their kind of fasting was not what the Lord accepted. Isaiah 58:4. 6, on the other hand, fasting was to encourage a person to respond positively to God's mandates, such as love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. On the other hand, fasting was to encourage a person to respond positively to God's mandates. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. 7, when you have that personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, then that will motivate you to have impersonal love for all. When you have that personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, then that will motivate you to have impersonal love for all. You will treat others with virtue, honor, integrity, grace, righteousness. Verse 6, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? And helping the hungry, helping the destitute or the naked who don't have the clothing. Verse 7, is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. 8, if the people had attained spiritual maturity, if they had attained grace righteousness, if they loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, then the Lord would bless them. Then the Lord would bless them, and that's verses 8 through 12. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your grace, righteousness, spiritual maturity will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And then you will call, and the Lord will answer. Your prayer life will be powerful and effective as a spiritually mature believer. You will cry for help, and He will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger, and the malicious talk, slander, maligning, judging. And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Well, it will. The problem is we don't have that many believers in grace righteousness, living by the royal family honor code, having virtue love brought to completion in their heart. But for those who do, have amazing impact everywhere they go. Amazing, visible impact. It doesn't matter where you go. You can go out and eat in a restaurant. They see it. Those people see it in the restaurant. You can, wherever you can go to a store, they see it. Whatever you do, your life has great visible impact. We need that in America today. Then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you, divine guidance. Always, He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls and restorer of streets with dwelling. So, point eight. If the people had attained spiritual maturity and grace righteousness, then the Lord would bless them in wonderful, wonderful ways. Powerful and effective prayer. James 5:16, the prayer of a grace righteous believer is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. The prayers of most believers in America go no farther than the ceiling. Doesn't go past the ceiling. The prayer of a grace righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer, is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. And you know, I'll be real honest, we get calls from all over the United States and other parts of the world asking to be put on our prayer list. Asking to be put on. Because word has gone out to them that the prayer warriors at Upland Bible Church, when they pray, their prayers are powerful and effective and accomplish much. And so we have people on that prayer list from all over. And I remember when I was at Dallas Seminary, and I was we had all these men... who were part of Pastor Thames, Colonel Thames' ministry. And I was having lunch with one of them. And he, in the process of eating lunch, just said, "You know, I don't think prayer works." That's what he said. I looked at him. I said, "You don't believe prayer works? What's your spiritual gift, pastor teacher? Are you going to tell your congregation when God gives you a congregation, hey, prayer doesn't work, so don't worry about it? If you're honest, that's what you do. Prayer does work." And right away when he said that, I said, there's one thing I'm going to make sure. A right thing must be done in a right way to be right. Right thing must be done in a right way. And so I said, I am going to teach prayer again and again and again and again so that people understand the most important thing for you is what we do here 5 times a week to assemble for the teaching of the God-breathed scriptures, to assemble in humility and positive volition, to respond and believe the God-breathed scriptures, to get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. And when you have that, you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the power of the filling of the Spirit, the power of Bible doctrine in your heart, your prayers will be powerful and effective and accomplish much. The right thing done in the right way must be done the right way to be right. So if the people had attained spiritual maturity and grace righteousness, then the Lord would bless them with powerful and effective prayer, with divine guidance, all the time, divine guidance. And they would sin, but there's certain categories they'd never commit. And that is sins of the tongue, no judging, no slander, no maligning. For the spiritually mature believer, that's out, kaput, it's over. Now you're going to sin. I've sinned at least once in the time I've been here. I'm glad you laughed. We all sin, but the spiritually mature believer does not get into judging, slandering, malign. That's a vicious, vicious evil. All right. Well, I was looking forward to teaching this class. I've been looking forward to it for some time. I had this done. But that's only the first rhetorical question, verse 5. Come back next week for the second rhetorical question in verse 6. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.